Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
He cared about you. There wasn't nothing he wouldn't do to protect you or stand up for you.
You know, it's really hard to fathom how a person can just disappear, let alone with a bright red truck.
He was a very close friend to me. Him and I used to have some pretty serious conversations about life, loves, and stuff like that, and I miss that.
You know, I'd like to think that nobody would harm him. He was a really decent guy, would give you the shirt off their back, but heaven help the person that did harm him if they did.
Yeah, he was always happy. Nothing he wouldn't do for you, you know. Nothing for him to show up my house, and we just sit in the deck and have a couple beers and talk about nothing, you know. We'd pack up the race car and go to a track somewhere.
It was just like he dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird that nobody's talking to us. I mean,
I know.
It just blows my mind that you know somebody your whole life and they go missing. And
yeah. You don't want to talk about it? Kind of leads you to leave. Maybe you know something and you don't want to talk to anybody because they might peel it out of you or something.
Hello, and welcome to episode 53 of The Vanished. In this week's investigation, we looked into the disappearance of 34-year-old Donald Messier. He vanished after leaving a party in Waitsfield, Vermont in the early morning hours of October 15, 2006. No trace of Donnie or his truck have ever been found. This is Donnie's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500.
Donnie's sister Amy contacted me a few months ago and asked that I cover his disappearance on the show. The thing about Donnie's disappearance is that there's not much information to go on. If you look online, there's a couple articles about him that offer just the most basic information. There were no clues left behind. He was at a party and then was just gone. He wasn't caught on a surveillance camera somewhere. We can't even examine the items that were in his vehicle because that vanished along with him. In order to cover Donnie's case, we had to get people to talk. This is where we ran into our second roadblock. No one wanted to talk. We were told that there were about 60 people at the party the night that Donnie vanished, and none of them were willing to talk. What does it mean when someone disappears and no one wants to talk about it? Is it a conspiracy of silence? Are they afraid of someone? This is what Nathan and I wondered after repeatedly reaching out to people and being ignored and avoided. But don't worry, we eventually got people talking. The thing about Donnie is, by all accounts, he was a really nice guy. No one had a single negative thing to say about him. He was a man in his mid-30s who worked hard at two jobs and enjoyed a few beers with his friends on the weekends while working on their race cars and watching NASCAR. Donnie was also a big guy, about 6 feet tall and weighing around 275 pounds. He seems like an unlikely victim. So Nathan and I started this journey with one question in mind. What could have happened to Donnie? At the time of his disappearance, Donnie had recently split up with his wife. The breakup had been very hard on him, as divorce typically is. His sister Amy gave me a little bit of insight into who Donnie was and how he was coping after the breakup of his marriage.
He was a family-oriented, fun-loving person. He enjoyed being outdoors doing, you know, whatever, anything from mowing lawns and trimming grass to helping his friends on his race car up at Thunder Road in Barrie. His best friend raced at Thunder Road, and that was one of his favorite hobbies and some of the best times of his life. hanging out up at Thunder Road, helping Chris with the race car. And, you know, there's always something to do in the garage, tinkering around on a race car. And even though we had just kind of finished the race season, we were talking about the next year. He enjoyed spending time with his family, doing whatever, cookouts, just hanging out in the garage, talking, puttering around the house, tinkering on vehicles or tractors or whatever was broken and needed fixing. Around the time of his disappearance, he had recently split up with his wife and had had a rough time accepting it at first, but really had seemed to be in a much better place, sort of come to grips with the fact that it was over and that he was ready to move on with his life and started spending more time with friends again and engaging in life.
Often, when a man goes missing, suicide is one of the first assumptions that is made. We have heard this time and time again from the families of missing men. Since Donnie had recently been dealing with a divorce and took it pretty hard, this is one of the theories that law enforcement initially clung to. After his divorce, he had moved in with Amy and her family. She had seen him the day that he went missing, and I asked her if she could tell me a little bit more about how Donnie seemed the last time that she saw him.
It seemed like a typical Saturday. Him and I were jockeying for bathroom space, trying to both of us get ready for work. He was laughing and joking, and, you know, he was giving me a hard time, razzing me about, let me use the bathroom first. I'll take way less time than you. He seemed fine that night. He was actually kind of joking that he needed to take his estranged wife some, I don't know, $100-something bill that he was laughing about. Oh, maybe I'll pay her in pennies. He seemed, to everybody around him, he seemed like he was, you know, coming back to his old self. It was hard on him in the beginning, realizing that his marriage was over, and as it is for anybody. But he had kind of accepted that, started to move on, and we were talking about going snowmobiling in the winter and, you know, making plans for the future. He worked full-time at Green Mountain Coffee Roasters in the production line and also worked a second job at Billings Mobile in Waterbury and was getting ready for a shift at the mobile. He worked until about 3 o'clock and then needed to do some brake work on his truck and had come to my grandfather's to use the shop. My dad had helped him finish that out. He was going to go watch the race that night, I guess, at a friend's house in Duxbury. Hung out with them for a while and then headed over to this party in Waitsfield. The best that anybody can remember is that he was last seen, I guess, sometime between 12:30 and 2 in the morning. And then just never resurfaced anywhere.
No one realized that Donnie was immediately missing because he was such a busy guy who had lots of plans with friends and worked two jobs. Amy explained to me how she realized that something was wrong.
I personally didn't think anything was odd about it. At first, I knew he'd had plans that Sunday with a friend, different part of the state, so when I didn't see him all day, that really wasn't that concerning to me. He worked a night shift, so a lot of times, you know, I'd go to bed and he was at work and I'd wake up and he was sleeping on the couch because he was staying with us at the time. What alarmed me was when I came home from work on Monday and realized that there was, like, no evidence of him having been at the house and gotten ready to go to his shift at Green Mountain Coffee Roasters. There was no sign that he'd been home and showered and changed clothes. When he didn't come home on Sunday, I just assumed he was still helping Albert and had decided to stay up there for the night. Didn't think much of it until I got home Monday night and realized that there was no dirty clothes, there was no sign that he'd taken a shower, and started making panicked phone calls to see if anybody had seen or heard from him. Finally made connections with a guy that I thought he was with on Sunday, and he's like, no, he didn't show up. And that's when we realized we had a little problem. That he was nowhere to be found.
In 2006, most people had cell phones, maybe not the smartphones that most of us carry today, so I asked Amy if Donnie had a phone on him when he went missing.
He did have a cell phone. We immediately started trying to call it, and it would just go through to voicemail. You know, at first it would ring, and then his voicemail would pick up, but then eventually we had filled it with enough messages that the mailbox was full. Really about the only thing they could figure out from his phone calls is that he had last called one of his buddies. I'm trying to remember what time. It was really early in the morning, probably around 1:30. I want to sometime between in that, 12:30 to 2 window when he had called a friend who lived also over in the valley near where he was at a party. And we're not really, Craig had already gone to bed and didn't pick up the phone.
Okay.
He was already sleeping, so he has no idea what Donnie wanted. If it was, hey, I'm down here at Nick's, why don't you come down? Or, it was a, what are you doing? I'm going to come up type deal.
After Donnie was reported missing, the search began. Not only were the police looking, but Donnie's friends and family were out looking for any sign of him or his red 1997 Ford F-150.
I know the state police did some driving around and investigating. The state police also had brought in a special team of boats and equipment and stuff out of New York with sonar equipment, and they did search the Waterbury Reservoir just to, in case they, he had gotten disoriented or they thought maybe he had become despondent and tried to commit suicide or something like that by submerging his vehicle in the Waterbury Reservoir, but that turned up nothing. There was a group of us that were friends and family that would meet probably once a week and be in close contact. And we had a state map and everybody kind of picked a different area. And we sort of would just highlight the different routes that we'd been on and areas we'd covered looking for his truck. Just driving different back roads and different routes, different ways we would have thought he would have, if he'd been here, where might he have possibly gone? What were his favorite places to drive? If he needed to clear his head, he'd get in the truck and drive. If he was bored, he'd just get in the truck and drive around, and you never knew where he was going to end up. A lot of times he didn't have any particular destination in mind, but he always stayed fairly close to home. I mean, he might wander over into New Hampshire or something like that because he, at one point, had driven for a local parts company, and that was one of the routes he had to take was to some of the stores over in the New Hampshire area. But he always found his way back home.
The people that were at that party with him, did they say anything out of the ordinary at all?
No, they didn't think he seemed off at all either.
They've been forthcoming, I'm assuming?
I assume so. They were questioned by the state police and, asked if they had just trying to confirm timeline of when he was there, if he was seen leaving with anybody, just trying to track down any possible tips or leads.
Amy has been searching for her brother for over 10 years. I wanted to know what she thought happened to Donnie.
I have absolutely no clue. It's really hard to fathom how a person can just disappear, let alone with a bright red truck, and just never be seen or heard from again. No sightings on his truck that I'm aware of. As far as I know, there was never any activity on his credit card, his debit card, his cell phone, nothing after that, because we had access to, his phone records and stuff because he was on my dad's plan, I think it was. So we could access his phone records and see if there had been any outgoing calls. And obviously the police were monitoring, his credit, or not his credit, his personal information, like his social security number and stuff like that. And the banks were watching his account to see if anything, if there was any money pulled or anything like that, trying to give us a tip in any direction at all. But it was just like he dropped off the face of the earth.
One of the main theories in Donnie's case is that he drove off the road that night. Amy gave me her take on that.
There's 100 different back roads and multiple places he could have gone. We drove some of his favorite routes. And there's some places where you could really get off the road. And we would get out and walk and look over banks and go a little deeper into the bush and look for signs of, any sort of disturbance in the vegetation. And then a lot of the areas where he would like to drive were hit really hard with Hurricane Irene. So again, you would think that as much stuff was disturbed and as the earth was displaced and all that stuff, things were washed and swirled around. If his truck had been over a bank unnoticed, you would have thought that that might have also brought something to the surface, anything that somebody might have found that would have been odd. Absolutely no sign anywhere.
A few years ago, Amy was contacted by a private investigator who looks into cold cases. She explained to me why he was interested in the case and what he did to try to help.
One of the things that kind of grabbed his attention in my brother's case was it was very similar to Moram. I think it was Moram Murray.
Moram Murray, yeah.
And, you know, Breonna Maitland, they all kind of disappeared sort of within several years of each other. And that was something that he found really fascinating. And he actually did quite a bit of legwork. Somebody who was very heavily interested in my brother's case and likes to try to get this stuff solved so he can bring peace and closure to the family. He even went so far as to printing up a bunch of flyers and cards like that and sending them around to, you know, the Fish and Wildlife people to pass out with, you know, hunting licenses and stuff like that to try to get the word out there. So when people were in the woods, to be more vigilant. And if you notice something that seems off, you know, maybe investigate it a little further. Sent me a big stack of them, and we had friends that went around to different stores and stuff and left them and asked if we could hand them out. And I had quite a few stores that contacted me saying, I need more. People are grabbing me. It was tourist season, so it was a really good time, and it was a really great thought to get it out there and, you know, more eyes looking.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
There were really only two people who were willing to speak with us, and that was Amy and Donnie's good friend, Chris. Chris explained how he met Donnie.
I met him back in, I think, 87 or 88. I was working at a parts store where his grandfather would get parts from, and, you know, he came down with his grandfather because he was helping him one summer work on vehicles, and we just kind of picked up a friendship from there, and the rest is in the books. We were really good friends.
I had spoken with Chris back in September, and he told me pretty much what Amy had said, that Donnie had a rough breakup with his wife and had been enthusiastically making plans for the future. He did tell me that he had suspicions about the party that Donnie had been to that night. Donnie had asked Chris to go with him, but he wasn't in the mood to go, and that is something he still struggles with to this day. Between the time that I spoke with Chris in September and now, Nathan and I reached out to tons of people, and they just kept ignoring us. These were people who had been to the party, and you would think if they didn't know anything that they'd be willing to speak with us. So Nathan called Chris back to see if he could provide us with any other information.
We've been trying to get in touch with people who were at the party that night, and nobody's gotten back to us. Nobody's responding to emails. Nobody's responding to phone calls. I mean, it seems
very odd.
I mean, I've just never encountered that where no one gets back to you about, you know, getting information out there about the person.
Well,
yeah.
My gut feeling is something happened at that party.
That was what I felt from the day he come up missing, so.
Well, from what I understand is the party that he went to, those were people he had known for a long time, right? He wasn't real necessarily close to them, but he had known them right. for a long time.
Yeah, unless there was somebody there that nobody knew or some people knew, but.
What do you make of this? I mean, I think when I look at the information that's out there and we look at the truck and how the truck's never been found and the police say, well, that's unusual for a missing person's case for their vehicle to go missing as well, which it is. But
yep.
you look at it on the other hand, that 10 years has passed and that there's been no hits on that vehicle. I mean, it has never been registered, sold, whatever. It's just
right.
dropped off the face of the earth too. I mean, what does that tell you?
I would feel that you find the truck, you're going to find him.
Yeah.
You know, I think whatever might have happened to him, you know, the two of them are together somewhere, you know,
yeah.
somebody did harm him or if something, you know, I don't know.
I mean, have you heard anything over the last 10 years? Any theories, any, you know, just even wild ideas people have put out there?
Oh, I've heard rumors of somebody at the party he had an altercation with, and they made sure that he disappeared and buried him and his truck together on the land somewhere.
Like an altercation, like something that had been brewing or something that just was like a, you know, something that happened that night?
Something that happened that night.
God, that'd be really a dream, huh?
Yeah.
This was Amy's take on the people at the party.
You know, most of the people that were there are, you know, guys that we've grown up with that are in our community. And, you know, I run a local business in the Valley, and a lot of the people that were there are either friends or customers of mine. So I'd like to think that there wasn't anything that was malicious going on there, but I don't know who everybody that was there. So who knows who
yeah.
could have somebody along that, you know, maybe just was having an off day. I don't think so. But it's just really hard to speculate. It's hard to wrap your head around, again, how can they just disappear off the face of the earth with no trace.
One thing that I had heard was that people at the party did not help search for Donnie. Both Nathan and I found this to be odd.
Did you help out with the search effort back then?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So, and I understand not many or not any of the people at the party that night helped search for him. Is that...
Not that I know of, no.
During Nathan's call with Chris, he mentioned a name that we had not heard yet.
You know, he had a on-again, off-again thing with a girl that ended up into some bad drugs, stuff towards the time he came up missing, and stuff like that, so.
Who was the girl?
Maya.
Maya.
Yeah.
Was she involved, like, with another guy or something?
I think she was, at that point, was involved with a guy that, you know, these are all hearsay things that
picked up. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But supposedly that she was gotten into some pretty bad drugs with some people, and there were some guns pulled on people about it all and everything else. So.
Oh, weird. So, yeah. So I mean, he strikes me as the kind of guy who would, you know, rise up in a situation where somebody he cared about.
Exactly.
So, I mean, okay.
Yeah, if he cared about you, there wasn't nothing he wouldn't do to protect you or stand up for you.
So, was she a friend of his, or was he romantically interested in her?
A little bit of both.
Yeah. I mean, I know the drug thing's always kind of a thorny issue with people, but I mean, was he a recreational user of anything?
Oh, no. Beer, oh. Maybe.
Yeah.
The only drug or anything I've ever seen him use was beer.
Yeah. Have you talked to the police at all? I mean, what's your sense in terms of their level of interest in this thing?
Lack of. I don't know. Seems like if it was a teenage girl, they would have been all over it a lot harder. It's just my personal opinion. But.
What struck us about this case was the wall of silence that we encountered from the people who had been friends of Donnie and who had been at the party. I had tried to contact several people myself and eventually handed the task off to Nathan when I was getting nowhere. He tends to be a little bit more persistent than I am.
I ran up against the same wall. With those numbers, with the ones I found out there, with everything, even the police were more or less non-responsive.
And I know you were able to finally get a hold of one person who was at the party, but what hoops did you have to jump through in order to get that person to talk to you?
One person did respond, and they were at the party that night. There were about 60-some people at the party, so you can imagine a good number of those not responding, because you have to assume that, you know, word spreads when things come up in cases like these and within those circles of friends. So one person did respond to a request for comment, and, you know, they were real reluctant. It took a lot of begging, coaxing, trying to get them to do the right thing, really, which is kind of, you know, what it came down to. It's the guy's missing, and, you know, it's been 10 years, and somebody has to know something, you know. So it really, at that point, just makes you all the more persistent, because why wouldn't anybody want to help, which is really kind of what this is helping.
Yeah, and that's what makes the whole situation seem more suspicious, in my opinion. Initially, I was suspicious of people at the party, and then what this person told you opened up a whole nother can of worms.
Yeah, what we heard from this source was it veered away from the party and into a, you know, sort of quasi-romantic relationship Donnie had with a woman who people were surprised that he'd be involved with. She apparently ran with a sketchy crowd and was involved with a local guy for quite a while who was known to be very violent. And so, you know, that kind of put things in perspective, and in that maybe people are frightened of this person, his family, his friends, still to this day, being, you know, a small, tight-knit community where, you know, you probably can't go too far without bumping into a bunch of people, you know. And in the rural areas where it might be a long time before help arrives, you know.
What struck me as interesting about it was that Chris also mentioned a connection with this woman, and Chris was not friends with the people at the party. And so to me, it added a layer of credibility to both stories, because you're getting it from two people who don't know each other.
Correct. Absolutely.
I'm going to play Nathan's call with the person from the party who did eventually speak with us. I am purposely distorting this person's voice because they asked to remain anonymous.
I've never, ever worked a case for people who are just, like, don't call back on a missing person case. I mean, that's just so odd to me that...
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't remember a lot of the night. It was 10 years ago, so it was a Halloween party. You know, everybody was drinking. I remember Donnie being there, and I remember, you know, I remember seeing him and talking to him. I remember that me and one of my friends had a conversation because we felt like he was acting a lot different than normal.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally Donnie's, you know, happy, fun, loving guy, and he just seems very down, depressed. I don't remember if I left before him or if he left after me, but I'm pretty sure that the person who rode with him did not leave with him, like he left alone.
Mm-hmm. Who was that?
I think it was Craig.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure that he actually rode with him, but him and Craig were, like, best friends.
Okay.
I remember Bonnie, I mean, like everybody else had been drinking. She didn't necessarily like say anything to me that was like, you know, like I'm going to go do something. He was just acting a lot different and very depressed.
So did it have anything to do with Maya?
I have no idea because I, at the time, I didn't really know her. I don't even really, like, I know who she is and stuff. But there was rumors, A, he was depressed because his wife was leaving him. And I know that he always worked, like, 2 full-time jobs to pay for everything. And there was rumors that, like, she was spending all of the money and not working, maybe. And then she was leaving him. And then there was rumors that Maya had been hanging out with Donnie, not necessarily romantically. They had been spending time together. And then that she had, like, bullet holes in her car the next day, supposedly. And that was the same day that Donnie was missing. So I remember people were like, well, maybe whoever she had, I don't know if she was still married or seen, but she was with Travis, who was like extremely violent. And so everybody thought maybe like something happened there because Travis found out her and Donnie were hanging out or something.
Was she married to him at the time?
I don't know, honestly, if she ever actually got engaged to him. And I don't even know if they were together at that time, but I remember that was, like, a scenario that people had thrown out because Donnie's missing. There was rumors that he was spending time with her, and then somebody said she had bullet holes in, like, her fender.
Huh. So what kind of scene did she run with back then?
The same as now, like drug addicts, sketchy people. And I'm not really sure why Donnie would spend time with her because it's not, that's like the complete opposite person of him.
Yeah, it seems like he'd be kind of out of his element.
Yeah, unless it's like one of those things she was just showing him attention or friendship, you know, just friendship. But I mean, it was the same type of people because like I said, the person that she was with close to then was Travis. He's a sketchy, weird guy. He beats women. Like, he's been to jail for beating women. So it's like, it's completely not a person you would think that Donnie would be with.
Yeah. Everything I've heard, he's a pretty chill guy.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I don't even know. I never like physically saw him with her, but I remember people saying like, I wonder if it had anything to do with him and Maya hanging out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've heard from people that they did have a sexual relationship. It was kind of low key, definitely something there. So from what you know, I mean, how intense was like the investigation? I mean, from everything I've gathered, it just seems like cops kind of like, oh, he was depressed about his divorce and drove off somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's what my understanding is they're at. Like, he's a missing person, and because of the whole, like, divorce thing and just being depressed, the cops have just said, you know, it's a suicide. At this point, we just need to find the body. You know what I mean? And the thing that's weird, I mean, how do you not find a truck? And, I mean, I know that one of his friends came to my house the next day, I think it was, or maybe it was the day after, and was like, Donnie hasn't been seen since the party the other night. And we're like, well, what the hell? And then, like, the cop, or because we're at and, like, we're being questioned, thinking something happened there. And we're like, we were all just, you know, like having a fun party, like nothing happened there. I didn't see him leave the party. I mean, I'm sure he did because
Nick's been throwing those parties for years, right? I mean, that was kind of a regular thing At his parents' house, right? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm like 99% sure he left the party just for my, because the 1% is I didn't see him leave.
Yeah, yeah. Maya there that night, you know?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Like, everybody would have been like, why the hell is she here?
But it would have been known that Donnie was probably at this party because it was a regular.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I had never seen Donnie there before, though. That was the first time I ever saw him there.
Oh, really? At any of Nick's parties?
Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, maybe, like, one other one, but he was not there regularly like all of us were.
Okay.
Like, I think, like, him and Craig were at a party before, and they left that party and came to Nick's.
Okay.
And, like, supposedly he had told people that, like, he knows places that he can drive into and nobody will ever find him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they drained and drenched the Waterbury Reservoir. They checked the granite quarries in Barrie, like, and they have not found him.
Mm-hmm.
There was rumors that when Travis was in jail, he tried to do a plea and say that somebody else up on Campbell's Hump had killed him, and so the cops went up there, but they never found anything. Travis was just trying to get out of jail.
So who was he trying to point fingers at?
I think Mike, one of Maya's exes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So where are those two at these days? Are they still around?
Travis might be in jail. Mike is around. And I think that, like, the whole thing with that, because the cops checked Mike's house and everybody's like, he would have never done that.
Yeah.
And I think it was just Travis was trying to, you know, get out of jail before they actually checked anything. And that was, like, a rumor that the cops did that. I never actually saw them do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, there's always been that thing said about the whole Maya thing. And I mean, just the fact that nobody has ever found his truck is just like, say he did commit suicide. How did he hide a truck?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing that just absolutely makes no sense. I wish that I remembered more because the cops never, like, asked me anything. Like, I know there was a lot. There was probably, like, you know, 60 people there or more. The only people they really interviewed were, like, Nick and his wife at the time, Craig, and then, like, Donnie's friends and stuff. I don't really think they interviewed a lot of people that were actually at the party. But I never talked to the police about it.
You know, if Maya or Travis or anybody, I mean, obviously Travis had some kind of discussion with law enforcement about it at some point, but, you know, if they were ever identified as potential suspects?
I don't think anybody has. If they have, then it's not been made public.
Yeah.
Because as far as, like, I've ever heard, like, publicly, is that they've kind of just assumed that it was a suicide.
Yeah. So, would Travis be somebody, like, people who are generally afraid of? Like, if somebody did know something, like, that they might be worried about going to the cops?
Travis isn't, like, a big guy, or he's a sketchy person. He's just not a good guy. Like, he has, I think, gone to jail for, like, abusing two different women he was in relationships with.
I had to rework this episode a little bit because I got a tip in my email just this morning. We did not have the time to look into this as much as I would have liked to, but we will continue to look into it further. The story is that someone who we most definitely know was at the party, but I am withholding the name, killed Donnie and burned his body in an outdoor wood furnace and had his truck taken care of. I asked where this information came from and what a possible motive would be. I was told that, like Donnie, this man also had a crush on Maya, and that years after Donnie disappeared, this man became drunk at a deer camp and started talking about it. Now, we don't really have any information to back this up at all. It could be true, it could just be a rumor, or it could be a story that someone put out there to throw people off track.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished.
So let's move on to theories. The first theory is that he just took off to start a new life. This is what his friend Chris had to say about that.
So in one of the media reports that I had read from several months after he had gone missing, the officer, the Vermont State Police officer on the case, said that they still at that point hadn't suspected foul play, and which really usually means, you know, this person is active in their life but has just chosen to, you know, cut communication off from people. I mean, do you see him just taking off somewhere?
No, absolutely not.
No, yeah, because he had deep roots there. I mean, he grew up there, right?
Yeah, he wouldn't do that to people that were in his life. You know, his close family and friends, he wouldn't do that to them.
Yeah.
He wasn't that kind of guy to just up and leave everybody wondering or hurt him, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There really isn't any information to suggest that he had any plans to leave. He was very close with friends and family and really had nothing to run from. His bank accounts have never been touched either. If he took off, what did he do with his truck? The second theory is that he committed suicide. I always feel like it would be really hard to kill yourself and hide your body. But what about hiding your body and your truck? I think that would be even more difficult. Unless he ran his truck into a body of water that has not yet been searched. While I feel like we can't completely rule this out, I think it's unlikely. The third theory is that he just drove off the road, whether it was because he was drunk or possibly swerved to avoid hitting a deer or some other kind of animal. What are the chances that this happened and 10 years later, nothing has been found? Like Amy mentioned, Hurricane Irene cleared out the area pretty well a few years back and nothing surfaced. With all of the people who go into the woods in Vermont, whether it's to go hiking, hunting, camping, or whatever, I'm surprised that no one has spotted a big red truck in 10 years. If, in fact, that's where it is. One theory that we need to discuss is his ex-wife. I know a lot of people will automatically suspect some involvement on her part. No one that we spoke to seemed to suspect her at all. They didn't seem too fond of her because supposedly she had been unfaithful during their marriage, but there does not appear to be any motive on her part. Another theory is that he was a victim of some random crime after leaving the party that night, such as a carjacking. While anything is possible, I think Donnie is an unlikely victim just due to his size, And would a random perpetrator be motivated to make both Donnie and his truck disappear forever? If it was truly a random crime and there was no link between the perpetrator and Donnie, wouldn't it be easier just to ditch the truck somewhere? The last two theories revolve around people who knew Donnie. Did his relationship with Maya get him killed? If so, who was responsible? Was it Travis, this man who we all know had a violent history? Or this other person who supposedly also had a crush on Maya? One rumor that someone emailed me about Travis was that he murdered Donnie and buried both the truck and Donnie on a piece of property that was either owned by Travis himself or his family. There are so many rumors swirling around, and Maya seems to be at the center of them all. We did try to contact her, but she never responded. I called to get Nathan's thoughts on what happened to Donnie.
So, Nathan, considering all the circumstances and the theory that we had been considering about Travis, and then also the email that we got today, what do you think happened to Donnie?
What I think happened to Donnie is that we don't know what happened to Donnie. I think, me personally, as far as I can really say with any comfortable level of certainty, is that somebody at the party that night knows something. And I think that much is clear from the silence. I mean, I think there's, you know, questions, legitimate questions around Nick. I think there's legitimate questions around Craig. I think there's legitimate questions around Maya.
Travis. Although he wasn't at the party, but...
He wasn't at the party, but, you know, by Travis, by extension, via Maya, you know, it's hard to say. You know, you have one person at the party who rode in with Donnie. Apparently, they left separately. He owns a excavation company, which, you know, certainly is would give him opportunity to bury a truck, get rid of a truck pretty completely.
We have another person at the party who there's this rumor about the outdoor wood furnace.
Yeah.
And we don't really know if that person has one or had one, or if this is just a rumor, so it's hard to tell.
Like anything, it comes down to motive, opportunity, intent. You know, if Donnie was messing around with Maya, Travis certainly may have motive to do something to Donnie. Maya may even have something motive to do something to Donnie. And there were other men in Maya's life as well. You know, as far as motive goes concerning other people, there was a rumor a friend of Donnie's may have been, or somebody Donnie knew at the party was having some kind of relationship with Maya as well, which could also be motive. You know, there's just a real astounding lack of information and a real, real disturbing wall of silence that these people have put up around the situation. And, you know, even if they're not directly involved with what happened to Donnie, they certainly are complicit at this point.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that when you get a chance to speak with the detective tomorrow, maybe we'll gain a little bit more insight.
Definitely. At least why they insist that, you know, it was either suicide or that he took off voluntarily. It just seems at this point there was just a real lack of investigation, that they just took everybody's word for it that he was depressed and, you know, just kind of peaced out. But that just doesn't add up to who he was and what the people in his life meant to him and, you know, this silence that is really, you know, pretty impenetrable.
Yeah, and I was kind of leaning towards this whole Maya Travis theory with the bullet holes in the bumper. And then I got that email this morning, and it actually made me realize that there's so many people acting so strange that you can't rule people out, you can't do anything because everyone's being quiet.
Yeah. And you know, Donnie, as far as we know, had no enemies, which makes it even more difficult. you know, why would somebody want to hurt this guy? Why would somebody want him gone?
Yeah.
And then go to all the trouble to bury the truck and or get rid of a truck and get rid of him. And you know, what sort of leverage would those people have to, you know, kind of keep information from seeping out over the years? I mean, that's the weird part of it. I mean, information always gets out, always. But in this case, for some reason, it just really hasn't gotten to that point.
When we first started looking into this and we heard this was a party, I thought it was just like an kind of like an intimate gathering of a handful or, you know, a dozen friends or something. But then once we learned that there were 60 people there.
And it was a Halloween party, so people were in masks. And so, you know, nobody even really kind of knows who was there, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
It was 10 years ago, and there was a lot of drinking that night. So things really aren't kind of looking good for Donnie at this point.
Yeah, well, my hope is that tomorrow either we'll learn some more information, or at least we can tell the new detective that's on Donnie's case about what we've heard, and maybe they'll take a second glance at his case.
That would be nice. It would be the right thing to do.
What we don't know at this time is to what extent the police chased down any of these leads. One thing that we do know is that out of the 60 people at the party that night, only a handful were ever questioned. We made repeated attempts to contact the Vermont State Police, and they finally responded yesterday. They told us that they would be willing to speak with us tomorrow, so I will put that call up as bonus content if they do, in fact, speak with us.
Right now is not a good time. We're in the middle of kind of a big investigation, so I can't break away from that.
Okay.
Can you call me? I'm actually not in the office tomorrow. Can you call me on Wednesday morning?
Absolutely.
Okay. That'll probably be best, and that'll give me time to kind of get some stuff off my plate.
Great. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you have any information about Donnie's disappearance, please call the Vermont State Police at 802-244-8781. You can also text an anonymous tip using the keyword VTIPS to 274-637. That brings us to the end of episode 53. I would like to thank everyone who spoke with us for this show and to all of you for listening. If you would like to reach me, I am on Twitter at The Vanished Pod. I have a Facebook page and a private discussion group. Everyone is welcome to join. It is only private so your friends and family don't see all of your comments. There is also a contact form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you would like to help the show, please leave us a nice review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you would like to contribute to the show, we have a Patreon account. You can contribute as little as $1. That is patreon.com/thevanishedpodcast. Tune in next week. We will be covering the very recent disappearance of two teens from California.
Especially living in Vermont, like, it's a quiet, peaceful place. It's not like we're, you know, big cities where there's, you know, drugs and gangs. And, I mean, I guess there's drugs everywhere, but, you know, not on the scale that you would see in a lot of these other bigger places where you could very easily make somebody disappear if you really wanted to, along with their stuff. That's not the kind of stuff that you see happening around here.
Just be nice to put closure on it all and figure it all out.
Yeah.
I think we all need that, you know.
What do you miss most about him?
Just him being around. You know, he was a very close friend to me. Him and I used to have some pretty serious conversations about life, loves, and stuff like that. And I miss that.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a small area. If someone knows something, eventually they're going to flip and say something to the wrong person or piss the wrong person off that knows something, and it'll come out.
Kind of guy that if you did show up today, you guys would just pick up right where you left off.
Oh God, yeah, he'd probably grab a hold and hug him just as hard as he'd hug me. you know?
Yeah.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.